More is you and Magic's Indulgence podcast. A little indulgence wherever you are. With More Than, the insurer that does more.
It's Sunday night and the Magic Indulgence. It's the show where we ask a celebrity guest to choose some of their favourite music. And I'm delighted to welcome today the lead singer from Hot Chocolate, Errol Brown. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, listen, we're going to talk fully in a moment, but let's get straight into your first song. You've chosen Knowing Me, Knowing You by ABBA. Why that one?
Well, ABBA was part of the scene when I was, we used to meet up at Top of the Pops and things like that. And I was kind of, I preferred to look at the blonde girl in myself. I didn't listen too much to the music. But I went to see Mamma Mia. And in fact, my daughters took me to see it, and I really loved the show. In fact, I went back twice because I loved it so much, and I appreciate just how melodic and how unique they were. And so I chose "Knowing Me, Knowing You," which especially I love the way that the middle eight of the song soars upwards, and it gives me a little tingle. So I like that song.
No Alan Partridge coming out in you whatsoever.
No, not really, no.
Oh. Knowing Me, Knowing You from ABBA. That's our first song choice of Errol Brown, our guest on Indulgence this evening. And, well, welcome back, as I believe
you've
been over in sunnier climes.
Yes, I now live in the Bahamas and walk around in T-shirts and shorts all day and play golf most of the time and just having a pressure-free life, really. It's really great.
It's a tough life, isn't it?
Oh, it's really great.
What do you sort of miss about the UK when you are away?
I don't miss the weather, of course. I miss, the scenery you take for granted, the history of London. I mean, when I've been back and I drive past the Houses of Parliament and some of the great buildings, you see just how much culture there is here. And of course, there's a lot of theatre and stuff, which you don't really get in the Bahamas.
Mm. You mentioned that you'd been to see Mamma Mia. Do you like to go and see West End shows then?
I see very few of them, but sometimes I get family time out. And usually those are really good times because I will see things that I wouldn't normally. I think, oh, no, I can't be bothered. But then if the wife and the kids say, let's go and see this, and I join in. And most of the time I really have a good time.
Brilliant. I can see you dancing in the Well, listen, let's get into your next song choice. A fantastic song, this one. Sam Cooke, A Wonderful World.
Yes. Well, he was such a major artist. And I think for any singer, he used to put you to shame, to be honest. But he made some terrific records. And Wonderful World is an expression of my positivity towards life and the way that I see the world, and I hope we can all get to that wonderful feeling of what a wonderful world.
It's Magic 105.4, the Magic Indulgence this Sunday night with Errol Brown from Hot Chocolate. Hello again.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Now, this is your 40th year.
Yes. Yeah. That's why it's my farewell tour. So I'm in town now to do a farewell tour, and that is because I think that it's time now to say goodbye.
This is the proper farewell, because there was a farewell before.
No, there's never been a farewell. No, I've never, ever publicly say that it was my last tour. What I did say to friends and family after the last tour was that I wasn't going to do it again. But I never put it out to the public that this was it. And when I said that to them, I then earlier in 08 decided that I should come out and say thank you to the fans who've been very loyal to me through the Hot Chocolate and Errol Brown days and return that love they gave me for all those years and just to come and say thank you and goodbye. And that's what I'm doing.
Do you still get the buzz when you're on stage?
I get it when I walk on and I see the response to the songs and the joy that they get from the songs, because I've sung the songs obviously millions of times. So, but when you actually see the people who bought the stuff and who appreciate you so much, it lifts you really up very high indeed.
And this tour that you're doing, it's massive.
Not bad. Not 21 shows. I've done more than that.
But you're all over the country. I mean, you're to Liverpool, Cardiff. You've got a show in London, which we're going to be giving tickets away, actually, on the website. If you go onto magic.co.uk/win, you can actually get yourself some tickets to go see it.
London, I think, is the Indigo O2 on the 13th of February. And I think I'm doing Fairfield Hall, Croydon, on the 19th of February.
Well, listen, let's get into another of your song choices, because you've chosen some amazing music today, and Aretha Franklin, one of them.
Yeah, well, she's, you know, everybody's all-time favourite soul singer. I chose this song because it's, I remember it from years back, and I one of those songs that I wrote a song called A Child's Prayer, which was a hit, and I took a little bit of this sentiment from Aretha.
That's John Lennon on Magic Indulgence. We're joined by the lead singer of Hot Chocolates. It's Errol Brown. Welcome to Indulgence this evening.
Nice to be here.
Picking some of your favourite songs. That's John Lennon there. And, well, John Lennon's kind of who gave you your first break, really.
Yeah, surprisingly, because around about the middle of 69, myself and the co-founder of the group, Tony Wilson, decided to reggaeify some of the popular songs of the time, and one of the songs was John Lennon's Give Peace a Chance. And I took it apart and added lyrics to it and all kinds of stuff, messed around with it. And the guy who financed the session, a demo session, came in and was horrified. He said, "You can't do that." I said, and I was really green in the industry. I had no idea. "You can't change Lennon's lyrics like that." And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." He said, "But I like it. I really like it. I'm going to send it to the Apple record label for John Lennon to see if they would approve the change." Of course, we all fell about laughing, you know. I mean, there's some guys from West Hampstead where I used to live, and this is John Lennon, you know what I'm saying? It's not John Lennon, it's John Lennon. So anyway, he sent it off, and I completely forgot about it because I just thought it was ridiculous. And the guy rang me up about a week later and he said, "Are you sitting down?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, John Lennon has heard it. He absolutely loves it. He wants to put it out on the Apple record label and they want to know what the name of the band is." I said, "We don't have a name." So we just a group of guys messing around the studio. Anyway, that's how it began. And then they signed us and the record came out about 6 weeks later. The Hot Chocolate Band, somebody in the Lennon's Apple record label came up with a name, and I loved the name, and that was it, you know. The record came out, got a lot of airplays, sold a few records, but wasn't a hit. And then we were back to square one.
What was your first hit? What was the one
that first, actually... The next move was to Mickey Most, who I found out was a producer of a group called Herman's Hermits, and I'd written with Tony Wilson a song called "Bet Your Life I Do," which I thought was good for Herman's Hermits. And I looked in Music Week to see who the producer was, and it was Mickey Most. So we made our way to him, and he loved the song. And in fact, initially signed us up as writers, and we wrote for Mary Hopkins, Julie Felix. And then one day he said, "I really like your voice, Errol. It's very commercial. Go away and write a song for yourselves." And that's how it came back. The song was "Love Is Life," and it went to number 6 in the charts.
Fantastic.
It saved me from being a postman, you know.
Is that what you'd have done?
No, the reason why I mentioned the postman thing is because I was actually... At the time, I was working at the Treasury as a clerical officer when I took the time out to write with Tony Wilson. And then in the meantime, I had taken a job when the record was made at a sorting office in somewhere like Pall Mall or something like that, or no, St. Paul, somewhere like that. And I remember the record coming on the radio when I was sorting these things. And I didn't say a word to anybody. And I listened to it. I thought, "Oh, my God." You know, it was, you know, these unbelievable things when your record first comes on the radio. I listened to it. I didn't say anything, and I went about my business. And then, you know, about 2 weeks later, I went into the RAC's offices, and it was a Friday, and the record had sold 100 records. I said, 100 records? You got a hit? I said, yeah, you have a hit. And the Monday, it was 2,500. And then by the fourth week, it was 25,000, 30,000, 50,000. Well, like that, the records. It's the most exhilarating experience of all time. You cannot beat the first hit record.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, let's take another of your song choices. And again, it's a fantastic song. Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing. Why have you gone for this one?
Because I wish I'd have written it. I mean, it's so sexy. It would have followed a perfectly sexy thing. It'd be a good, great follow-up. The funny thing about Sexual Healing was that I met Marvin Gaye a few times. He was bumming around London for a while, you know. And he was in real bad shape. I think he was, drugs, quite heavily into drugs and stuff. And he was really washed out. And all of a sudden, bang, he came back with this thing, you know, which just showed what a talented boy he was. And it was, that song and Let's Get It On, I had a lot of romantic days too.
Oh, really? Don't tell us anymore. It's Sunday night. Magic 105.4. I'm joined by Errol Brown, the singer from Hot Chocolate. And well, we're going to get straight into your next song. And it comes from a film, which, of course, you've had some success with film music.
Yeah, sure.
We're talking about Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. But your big one, of course, was from the Full Monty.
Yeah. Full Monty was interesting because I heard about... In fact, Full Monty broke in America first before it came success here. And I heard about the film and the song being in the film. I mean, the thing about movies and songs, for you know, many years I'd had low budget movies approach the publishing company to use my songs, and nothing really ever happened. So this was just another one I heard of, and I thought, oh, okay. But then I started to hear rumblings how funny it was and stuff from America, and a friend of mine called me and said, your song is in this film. Anyway, it came to England, and I went to see it with some friends, you know, and it was just a hoot of film, great film. And, of course, it brought a whole new generation to Hot Chocolate Music, because You Sexy Thing was re-released and went back in the charts around the world again. And so I have a lot to thank that film for.
I know you like musicals. Are you a big film fan as well?
Not certain films. I'm not like a, you know... I know my wife is a big movie fan. She knows all the movie stars' names and all that. But I'm like, now and again, I just saw a film called In Bruges.
Yeah. Colin Farrell.
Which I thought was fantastic. But I hear kind of rumors about films, and I'll say, I'll get them in the house and watch them. But I don't really go out too much to watch films.
And, of course, the lady that we're about to hear now, being a bit of a film star herself, Whitney Houston, actually starred in this film, The Bodyguard. Yeah. And you've chosen the song I Will Always Love You. What's special about that one?
Well, I was going to choose one of her songs anyway, because I was a real big fan of hers. And I met her, must have been late 70s, and she was like such a beautiful girl. I mean, she was outstanding. With all that talent, it's quite interesting how life has done for her, you know, all that. It's terrible, really. But this, as a performance, as a vocal performance, is just incredible. And the thing about that song is... Before she died, I know it was Dolly Parton who wrote the song. And, you know, her version was, you didn't get that same vibe, you know. So she really took the song to a different level vocally.
Magic 105.4, it's the indulgence of Errol Brown. Just wondering, what's your proudest achievement?
Receiving the Ivor Novello Award for Outstanding Contribution to British Music.
A lot of people would sort of imagine you as being a singer. I suppose they sort of forget that you did write all these amazing songs as well.
Luckily, yes. Yeah, luckily. I mean, I'm quite a strange guy, because I didn't discover I had any writing ability till quite late on, really, in my life. I'm strange, because I was talking to Kim Wilde about her family, rock and rollers from birth. I was not interested in being a pop star at all. I had no ambition. I just thought it was some other, you know, it's like being a movie star. It was out of my league stuff. So at the age of about 20, I began to get words and melodies in my head. And the guy who I co-found the group with spotted it. I wasn't even aware. I would go temping bowling, and I'd start to sing one of these melodies and stuff. He said, "What's that?" I'd say, "What do you mean, what's that? What's that you're singing?" I said, "I don't know, I'm just, you know." And one day he said, "Would you like to come and write songs with me?" I said, "You think I could write songs?" He said, "Well, you have these commercial kind of melodies." And that's how I started in the music industry. It was really strange. And when within about a year of that, I was kind of found what I was supposed to do in life. But I never grew up thinking I want to be a pop star. I think furthest thing from my mind. So I'm a bit strange. So when I look at all these things I've written, I kind of feel as if it was somebody else. Yeah, my mother died when I was 20 years old, just 19 and a half. She was 38, and we were very, it was just me and her. And if there's any spiritual thing that goes on, I feel I'm the benefit of that, because so many things have lined up for me that I have to believe there's something out that helped me along the way. So I'm intrigued as everybody else as to how I did all these things.
Is it a kind of whisper in your ear?
It's just that funny movements and in the right place at the right time, you know, little funny things. Like "You Sexy Thing," for instance, started life as a B-side. I was excited about the song when I wrote it. Mickey Most, the producer, was excited about it. We went into the studio and for some reason lost it. And he said to me, "I don't think he's quite making it." And I didn't argue much, thought, there's something not quite right. And it came out as a B-side to a song called "Blue Night," which was the worst flop we ever had in our lives, Hot Chocolate had at the time. And it was following "Emma" in America, that was a big hit. And that was it. It was on the way down, and everybody was gloomy. And a DJ in America, Mid-America, flipped the record over. Why he did that, I don't know. And he listened to "You Sex Thing," and he rang the record company and said, "What is this record doing on the B-side?" And that's how we flipped it. And that's how it became the biggest record we've ever made. So all these funny little, weird little things, you know what I'm saying?
That's fantastic. Well, I tell you, we should probably hear the song right now. This is your ultimate hit for me. I absolutely love this song. It's "You Sexy Thing" by Hot Chocolate.
Thank you.
Magic 105.4, and we're coming towards the end of our hour with Errol Brown now. He's been choosing the music for us, some fantastic songs. We've had ABBA and Sam Cooke and Marvin Gaye, and of course we've heard from Hot Chocolate as well. I'm curious to know as to the reason why you sort of said, like, this is definitely it now, this is my farewell tour, I'm definitely going to go away. Why? Because if so many people love your music, why would you not want to maybe come out and do the odd gig every now and again?
I just feel that I've done it. I've done my thing, and I just think that I have such a pressure-free life, and I have, thank God, may it continue. But life is, and I planned it this way. I have a really nice family life, and I've come to the age. And the age is the important thing, where I feel that the energy is getting a little bit too much for me to get out there all the time. And the last time I came out was 4 years ago. And if I wait another 4 years again, then that will be, I'm getting closer to the edge. So I'm happy to come and say goodbye and thank you to everyone who's been a part of me and who's supported me. And I'm really just feel that sometime you have to say, that's it. You know, and this is what I'm saying.
And is there going to be another re-release of the greatest hits?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know how these things are going to pan out. But I've written something about a few years ago, which is called "Thank You for the Night," which we may put out on the internet as a farewell thing. And that's it. I'm not coming out anymore. Don't expect me to walk in here again, because I won't be.
This is the final time, everybody. It's an emotional moment.
Hey, I'm going to have terrible difficulty on stage, to be honest with you, because the British public has given me so much. The music industry has given me so much. And so it's going to be tough, but it's better to go when you want to go than to feel, you know, there are many artists out there who just can't go because, you know, it's also a financial thing. Luckily, I wrote some songs that pay the rent quite well, so I can relax on that.
And what about the relationship with the rest of the band? Are you still speaking?
The rest of the band, I wish them well, but we don't have anything. It seems that the music was what we had in common, and that's it. It's very sad sometimes, but I am friendly with one of them, who the reason why I'm in the Bahamas, because he came from the Bahamas, and so I went there for honeymoon and many holidays, and I fell in love with the place. So I've got one band member over there, Larry Ferguson, the keyboard player, but the others I haven't had any contact with for many, many years. Yeah.
Do you find it a bit weird then that they're still touring as Hot Chocolate? And
No, because they would, if I hadn't given them the name to do that, they wouldn't have been able to make a living. I'm not worried about that. I was always all right, you know. So good luck to them, and hope they do well.
And you got the Bahamas. Well, listen, let's get into your last song choice. An ultimate magic classic, this one. Yeah. Careless Whisper, George Michael. Why this?
It was a surprise because the Wham stuff was very poppy and good stuff. But it's always interesting to me when and powerful when an artist leaves as he did and continued and made such a sensitive and lovely record, well performed and really great song. And as a songwriter, you appreciate great songs. And so I appreciate this one, very much like it.
Well, that's George Michael, Careless Whisper, the final song choice of Errol Brown on Indulgence this evening, his final appearance on Indulgence as well. We wish you all the very best with your retirement, I suppose.
Yeah, thank you.
What's after the tour? You're going straight back to...
Yeah, I'm going straight back to Nassau, and I have a charity thing I do over there, so I do a few things. A big charity golf tournament. I'm a boring golfer now, you know. I play golf a lot. But we have a big fundraising thing for children who are unfortunate. We give a lot of money to homes and stuff like that. So I'm doing some of that and bits and pieces.
And if you want to see Errol for the last time, then you need to, check out his website, because, of course, you can get tickets for London on the 13th of February, also Croydon on the 19th of February. We're going to be giving away some tickets for the London gig on the website. magic.co.uk/win is where you can do that. Give a special shout out to all the Magic fans that are there. On
Magic
that
fans, you're wonderful. Thank you for your lovely love you've given me over the years. I love you. And you'll be good now.
Errol Brown, thank you ever so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
You've been listening to Indulgence on Magic 105.4 with More Than Doing More. You can download this interview in full at magic.co.uk/podcasts.